Just an awesome time of prayer and praise to Jesus, and just thank you, Deanna, for sharing. Before I begin my message this morning, I got to confess that half of this message is Steve's and half of it is mine. He asked me several weeks ago if I would want to preach, and I began to pray about it, and nothing was coming. So last Sunday, I finally said to him, I said, "Do you have another what if sermon?" He says, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do," and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get to it. So he gave me all of his notes and everything. So it's what if. It's our number four what if. What if we believed in prayer? For the past 3 weeks, we have been looking at the what if questions. What if we forgave? What if we controlled our words? What if we controlled our thoughts? And today, our what if question is, what if we believed in prayer? I just like to share with you the thing that got me to believing in prayer. And I never realized the significance of prayer until the fall of 1996. And that was when I went on a spiritual retreat called the Walk to Emmaus. And I know many, many of you are familiar with that. And many of you have gone. And it's like a four-day retreat with God. It's you're truly on that Emmaus with him. I remember being in the kitchen of the old church, and Martha Ann Gardner telling me how they have someone praying for you a month ahead of time before you go on your walk. And I was just blown away by that. It was hard for me to comprehend that. And after going on that walk, I learned that there's a 24-hour prayer chart, that someone is praying the full 4 days that you're there. Each team member that's on that walk has a prayer partner as well. And the whole thing is just bathed in prayer. If you're given a talk, you're prayed in, you're prayed out, and there's just prayer, prayer, prayer. My life has never been the same. And thus began a 5-year journey of being asked to work on subsequent walks. And during that time, I heard God's call to ministry. And after serving on my very first walk, I got home on my knees, and I can vividly remember, I was in my breezeway of my old church, and I got down on my knees, and I literally begged God to be a lay leader. In February of 2000, that prayer was answered. I was asked to be a lay leader. Folks, if you want to be touched by God, go somewhere that's bathed in prayer. And I'm going to say that again. If you want to be touched by God, go somewhere that's bathed in prayer. Let's answer our what if question. What if I believed in prayer? This question raises many other questions. Why do we fail to pray? Do we believe God wants to speak to us? Do we believe God actively participates in our everyday lives, or is he only important at the end of life and a few crisis moments in between? What actually happens when we pray? The disciples asked Jesus many questions like, "Can I sit on your right-hand side when you come in your glory?" Or Peter's question, "If I have to suffer, will John suffer too?" The question that I want to focus on is the one the disciples ask after observing Jesus day after day. "Lord, would you teach us to pray?" And that's found in Luke 11:1. Somehow, the disciples had made the connection between the wisdom and power of Jesus and his habit of getting alone with the Father in prayer. I believe we too have to make this connection. We truly have to to be changed by God's power. What do you expect to happen when you pray? Do you anticipate answers, guidance, divine intervention? Most of all, in all honesty, we'd rather skip the guidance and go straight to God fixing whatever is troubling us at that moment. If we're totally honest, many times our prayers have more of an obligation tone. We need to do this, rather than an expectant tone. I can't wait to see how God is going to work in my situation. And this is a story that illustrates of having expectancy when we pray that God is going to answer that prayer. And it's one of Pastor Steve's favorites, and it's by Dr. David Jeremiah, and I'm going to share that with you. He tells the story of a woman whose young daughter became ill at school. After the mother received the call, she picked up her daughter and called the doctor's office to describe her symptoms. The doctor reported that there was quite the outbreak of flu-like symptoms, and because of the number of calls, he could not see her that afternoon. He could see her the next morning, and in the meantime, he told her of an over-the-counter drug that should help her rest. The mother put her little girl to bed and told her she would be back in 10 minutes. She rushed into the drugstore and bought the medicine. When she returned to her car, she realized she had locked her keys in the car. She could see them dangling in the ignition. Her first response was to use her cell phone to call her daughter and explain what had happened, that she would be a little later getting home. The little girl said, "Mommy, get a coat hanger. I saw on television how they just stick it in and unlock the door." The mother rushed back to the store to ask for a coat hanger. She had her doubts about whether it would work, and she had no idea how to make it work. But she, a woman of prayer, left the store and lifted her heart in prayer to the Heavenly Father. "I don't know what to do, Lord. My keys are locked in the car, and my little girl's homesick. I've got this coat hanger here, and I don't know what to do with it. Please send somebody to help me." As she finished her prayer, a car immediately pulled up to the curb right where she was standing and dropped off a passenger. The man who got out must be God's answer, the woman concluded. Although he looked pretty rough, he had not shaved in some time, and she thought he might be a homeless person. But she said, "Sir, can you help me? What's the problem? I've locked my keys in the car, and I've got this coat hanger, but I don't know what to do with it. Lady, where is your car?" She took him to the car, and after bending the coat hanger and inserting it through the top of the window, he quickly got the door open. The mother was overwhelmed, and she put her arms around this scruffy guy to hug and thank him. "You are such a good man," she told him. "Lady," he replied, "I'm not a good man. I just got out of prison." As she walked away, the mother prayed, "Thank you, Lord. You've sent me a professional." This story can remind us of two things. God uses whomever he chooses to answer prayer. And the second thing is that when we pray with a sense of expectancy, we tend to see God's hand all around us. And this raises the question of, how do we view prayer? Many see it as an act of a last resort. David Jeremiah states that when we finally get serious about prayer, the trigger is usually our desperation. We tend to use prayer only in case of emergency. Rick Warren states, many see prayer as only a duty to be performed by Christ followers. That's what the good Christian does. The basic motivation for prayer is guilt and a desire to stay off God's bad list. Prayer is something that is endured rather than enjoyed. None of these reasons will cause us to believe in the life-transforming power of prayer. Perhaps if we could just grasp the significance of prayer and why God puts so much emphasis on prayer, we would pray more. Prayer is way more than receiving the answers we have prayed for, way more. So let's talk about prayer's purpose. That's my first point of the day. Prayer at its essence is a declaration of our dependence upon God. We have to know that he's the only answer. Many times before we even begin to pray, we should ask God to give us a humble heart. I often pray, "God, make me humble so that we may be dependent on him." And this point is illustrated in the story of Daniel in chapter 10, 1 through 12. I need to paraphrase it because I'm in the instance of time, so that's what I'm going to do. And it talks about Daniel has a vision of future events, times of war and great hardship. Daniel prayed and fasted for 3 weeks, and at the end of that time, Daniel has another vision of a man dressed in linen, his body and face and eyes all aglow, and his face like his voice like the sound of a multitude. And gazing at this vision, Daniel had no strength, his face turned pale, and he was helpless. Then he heard the man speaking to him. And this is not paraphrased. And the man said to him, "O Daniel, greatly loved of God, listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you." When he said this to me, I stood up trembling with fear. Then he said to me, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to that prayer." We have to have a humble heart. Daniel had no backup plan, no plan D. It is God or nothing. During Bible school week, I was kind of having a day kind of like Deanna had on Wednesday. Time, it was a crunch time. I was a storyteller. I was getting ready for my lesson, and I wanted to print out these pictures to go along with my lesson. I was doing the 10 plagues, and I felt like I needed to have a picture of each plague. So I got all these pictures. I got them all downloaded, and I could not for the life of me figure out how to get them to print. I couldn't get it. So what I usually do when I have a tech problem, I march into Deanna's office, and she usually helps me out. So I went into Deanna's office, and she was just swamped. She was covered up. There was 3 or 4 people there, and I thought, it's going to take me longer to get her in there than maybe I could fix it myself. I got back in my office, and just frustration, I was near tears, and I just literally cried out to God, "You got to fix this. I cannot do it myself. I cannot." A minute or two later, it just came to me, okay, just click on the picture. God answered that prayer. You know, it does not have to be the big stuff that we pray for. This was just a small, insignificant thing. But God heard my heart. He knew that I was just beside myself, and he was the only one that could fix it for me at that time. Prayer simply acknowledges what God already knows. The way is not in us. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you trust in me, remain in me, you can ask whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. That's John 15:5. Prayer is our lifeline when we are connected to God's plan and purpose for our life. Number two is, prayer builds relationship with God. If you find that prayer is a duty, a ritual, a routine that you don't look forward to going through, it means you do not comprehend how much that God loves you. And he's interested in every aspect of your life, small or big. We have to grasp how much he loves us. In the last couple of weeks, I have been hearing the words, "God is for you." These are words that I desperately needed to hear. My problem is, and Deanna and I have talked about this countless times together, I have trouble grasping how much God loves me when I mess up. And many times, guilt and condemnation just eats me up. But Romans 8:1 says, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And as I was preparing for this, I went over some of my prayer notes that I have for my WWJD class, and I found another lesson. And it just seemed to fit. And it's called "God Loves You." And I make these four points. I'm just going to hurriedly go over them. The first one is, God loves you. You are special. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous. I know that full well. And that's Psalms 139:14. We have to know that we are special. We don't need to compare ourselves with other people. God made us who we are, and we have to get that into our heart. The next point I make is, God loves you. He calls you by name. And this is illustrated in Isaiah 3:1. But now, O Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. The next one is, God loves you. He has your name engraved on the palm of his hands. And I used to think that it was on the palm of his hand. And as I was reading this scripture, it says hands. He has your name engraved on both of his hands. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. It's Isaiah 49:16. We need to get a vision of our name written on his hands. The last one is, God loves you no matter what. And it's illustrated in 1 Timothy 1:15-16. How true it is, and how I long that everyone should know it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the greatest of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as an example to show everyone how patient he is with even the worst of sinners, so that others will realize that they too can have everlasting life. At the end of this lesson, I tell this story that illustrates this so well, so I'm going to read it to you. My mom works with a group that goes to local prisons to share about God. One time I got up to go with them. While I was there, I heard one of the prisoners say he thought of himself as someone God no longer wanted. Then a member of my mom's group read him 1 Timothy 1:15-16, sharing God's mercy to the worst of sinners. The prisoner accepted Jesus that day. No matter how much or how badly people have sinned, God's love can still reach them. Drug dealers, murderers, the worst person you can imagine can receive God's forgiveness by humbly asking for it. There's no such thing as a person God no longer wants. There are only people who haven't accepted his love. To have a relationship with Jesus, we must accept his love. Relationship also implies a two-way street. How do you feel when the only time you hear from someone is when they want something from you? I do a big thing on prayer every day, every year for WWJD. Usually lasts about a month. And I usually start out like this. To get to know someone, you got to talk to them. It's the same way with God. If you want to get to know, you've got to talk to him. And it does not have to be fancy words. It does not. It's just honest communication with him. It's how you feel. If you are mad, you are angry, tell it to him. He knows it anyway. But he wants you to verbalize that. He wants to hear it from you. Somehow or the other, when you're saying it out loud, it does something for you to say it out loud and to know that you are talking directly to God. You can tell him anything. Ask him anything. And I always stress to my kids, I say, always know that he is able. He is able. Most generally, he says yes, no, or wait. I cannot preach a sermon on prayer without mentioning my mother-in-law, Frances. She passed away about 3 years ago. She was a real prayer warrior. She prayed about everything. When my niece Holly and the South Knox girls sectional, our basketball team won the sectional the first time, the first thing that ran through my mind was, I bet Frances prayed for that. You know, I believe that God can answer prayers like that if your motives are pure, if your heart is pure for that prayer. And it lines up with what he's wanting to do. Number three is, prayer is God's chosen method to meet our needs. I had a little girl on Wednesday night once ask me, it's been years and years ago, why do we gotta ask for, pray about and ask God all this stuff when he just knows it anyway? Why do we even need to bother with prayer? We are told over 20 times in the New Testament to ask. James tells us, you have not because you ask not. That's James 4:2. And John 16:23-24 states, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Why would God want us to ask? It all goes back to relationship. The asking is for you. It's not for him. It's for you. God also wants you to choose to love him. He knocks at our heart's door, but he does not kick the door in. He's a gentleman. Just as an earthly father wants his children to come to him with their requests, the same thing with God. He wants us to come to him. But unlike our earthly fathers, God's opinions are always right. He wants to seek his wisdom. He has chosen to limit himself here on earth to operate through us. He's chosen that path. In the final days, God will impose his will. Today, he invites us to ask. Notice he says to ask and our joy will be complete. God's desire for us to know joy in our lives. Not necessarily happiness, but true lasting joy. Joy that endures now and for eternity. Number 4. Prayer is an invitation to partner with God, to bring about his purposes in us and around us. God has chosen to partner with us. He's chosen that. John 14:12-13 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. What has he been doing? Healing, forgiving, restoring, giving hope. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I tell my kids on Wednesday night, I said, Jesus is our great intercessor. We're here down on earth. He's sitting at the Father's right hand. You talk to Jesus and he talks to God for you. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. He's not talking about us being spiritual superstars. He's talking about us. How is it possible that we could do this? It's possible through prayer. When Jesus walked the earth, he was limited by a physical body. He could not be everywhere. He could not be past, present, and future all at the same time. His miracles were limited to the vicinity where he was located. Prayer knows no such limitations. We can pray for somebody in Boise, Idaho, or Alaska. We can pray for persecuted Christians in India and Egypt, or someone in our church who is sick. I can pray for my grandchildren and their grandchildren that are not even born yet. Prayer is not limited in power. People can reject us, but prayer can turn their hearts. Prayer can alter history. 6 times Jesus says, if you will ask, I will answer. Our part is the asking. His is the doing. The way is not in us to fix things that are eternal. The way is in him. We access his power through prayer. What if I truly believed in the power of prayer? I would pray more. I would pray more enthusiastically and expectantly. Our church would be more passionate because of the evidence of the power of prayer. A praying church is a church that sees God act, just like I told you about on my walk to Amazes. I seen God act because that was a praying walk. God acts according to our prayer. The wonderful truth is, as God answers prayers in your life and as you share those answers with others, you strengthen the faith of others. It's contagious. And remember, the end result of prayer is our joy being made complete. And this is my final story, and I almost didn't share it with you, but I just felt like that God was saying, yeah, go ahead. So here it is. And there may be a few of you that have heard this story, but I call it my wallet story. And when we were building our house back in 2012, we had Amish contractors building our home, and I got a call one day that one of them had lost their wallet. He's asked me if we'd seen it, and I said no, and they wanted to know if they could come back and look for it, so Mike and I went back to the building site, and I told Mike before they came, I said, I just really believe that God's telling me to pray with them about this wallet. And Mike says, oh, I don't know about that. And well, anyway, they came, and there was two of them in a truck, and Mike and I had both drove separate, and they immediately got out of the truck, and my plan was to go up to them and to pray about it before they even started. But they just got up, and they just dashed around here and dashed around there. They were frantically looking for this wallet. So we all looked for this wallet. There was four of us for about 20 minutes and didn't find the wallet. And they were getting ready to get in their truck, and I finally got up enough nerve to say, well, let's just pray about this. So we all gathered around, we held hands, and I prayed that the wallet would be found. Well, we all got ready to leave, and they drove first in their truck, then I was next, and then Mike was behind me and went down the lane, and then there's kind of a long county road, and then you turn this way and go to Washington, or you go to Monroe City. So they were driving down, and they had turned to go to Washington, and I was just a little bit behind them. And there in the middle of that road was a trifold wallet standing straight up. It was about like this. And I seen that wallet, and God answered that prayer. So anyway, I called them up and said, hey, I found your wallet. And they were amazed and gave me a big hug. And anyway, I was sharing this story in a small group setting. I think it was here at church. I can't remember the circumstances. And Mark and Jennifer Goodrich were in that group, and it wasn't less than a week later that Chad lost his wallet. So guess what? They prayed for that wallet, and God answered that prayer as well. So I just want to share that with you to encourage you that when God's doing something in your life, a true answer to prayer, whatever, we need to start sharing that. People need to hear what God's doing. We don't need to make it about us, but we need to make it about Him, that He does hear our prayers. He does answer prayer. And we just need to share that with each other. In closing, I'm going to ask you some what-if questions. What if we prayed about forgiving others, controlling what we think, releasing our anxiety and fear, controlling our words, putting our financial house in order? And we haven't heard about all these yet, but we're going to. Pastor Steve is going to preach on some more of this. Do you think that things might look differently in our lives, our church, and the people we love? And I'm going to have you to bow your heads, and we're going to have a time of contemplation and prayer. You're welcome to come to the altars if you want. If you're comfortable in your seats, it makes me no difference. But I just want you to bow your heads right now. I'm going to ask you some questions here, and just get your hearts open and ready to hear God speak to you. Okay, bow your heads. What is lacking in your life right now simply because you failed to ask God? Ask Him now. God invites us to ask. Maybe you've never had an answer to prayer in your life, at least one you recognized. I don't want you to miss out on what God wants to do in your life. Think of one specific thing you can pray about. What is uppermost on your heart right now? What is your greatest need? Ask Him now. Right now, would you ask God to allow you to see His miracles working through you? Things that cannot be explained by your own efforts? Right now, would you pray for that big thing in your life? Right now, would you ask God to work in our church to develop mature believers who depend on prayer? Would you pray for the lost, for people who are far from Christ? Lord, I'm excited about what could happen if we truly began to believe in the awesome power of prayer. Remind us that it's not about duty. It's about dependence upon you. It's about a relationship with you. It is the method you have chosen to fulfill our joy, and it is an invitation to join you in changing our world. May your name be glorified as we ask. Amen.